This is NPR's Weekend Edition. I'm Don Gagne. Three out, two down. Three American soldiers were spirited to freedom out of Yugoslavia this morning by the Reverend Jesse Jackson. The three were released by Yugoslav President Slobodan Milosevic after 32 days in captivity. And there's news this morning of two American planes down in the conflict. Both pilots were rescued and are safe. NPR's Silvia Pujoli is in the Yugoslavian capital, Belgrade, and she joins us now. Good morning, Silvia.
Good morning, Don.
Let's start with the mission of Jesse Jackson. Initial indications were that his mission would fail. And then there was the news then yesterday that the soldiers would be released, and they have indeed been released this morning. What do you know about the background to all of this?
Well, we know that Jesse Jackson was discouraged by the White House from coming to Belgrade on his mission to secure the soldiers' release. He was told it was too dangerous, their security couldn't be guaranteed, and that there was the danger that the visit could be exploited by Slobodan Milosevic. At first, it appeared from here that there was little chance that Slobodan Milosevic would grant Jackson's request for their release. The participants in yesterday's three-hour meeting with the Yugoslav president said it didn't look good from the start. Milosevic was angry with the United States and with NATO, especially that he was portrayed as Satan by NATO. He told Jackson his own public would not tolerate the release of the soldiers without a guarantee that the bombing would stop. And then we heard that in the meeting, Jackson did something quite unexpected at least in Belgrade. He grabbed Milosevic by hand, and everyone else held each other's hands, and they prayed together, with the Reverend reciting the biblical verse about lions lying down with lambs. A few hours later, we have the surprise announcement, and this morning, the emotional handing over ceremony. When the formal papers were signed, the servicemen broke into smiles and hugged Jackson. And Jackson himself urged a moment of reflection. He said Milosevic's diplomatic gesture should be answered with another diplomatic gesture and not with a military action. He suggested President Clinton might call Milosevic to acknowledge the move, and he said he'll deliver a letter from Milosevic to President Clinton asking for a face-to-face meeting.
Do we really know, though, who gets what out of the deal?
Well, first of all, it's a clear indication that after 5 weeks of this bombing campaign, Milosevic wants to make some kind of a deal. He's ready to negotiate, but it's not clear just how far he's willing to go in making concessions. In any case, it definitely was a major propaganda coup for Milosevic. The official media here gave great coverage to the event, said the soldiers had been handed over to Jackson because he'd come to Yugoslavia to raise his voice against the bombing and aggression. And as I said, Jackson has called for an answer to Milosevic's gesture that he said the gesture should not be ignored. He called for a bombing halt, but that request was not granted. Belgrade was spared last night, but airstrikes continued in other parts of Yugoslavia.
So what does it do for the negotiations, the actual release of these American servicemen to maybe end the crisis? And I guess I can ask, what does it do to the strength of the NATO alliance?
Well, it depends very much on how the United States and its allies respond. It does pose a dilemma for the alliance. Although after 5 weeks the air war is not producing the desired results, NATO governments appear absolutely unwilling, to entertain the notion of sending in ground troops to Kosovo. But if they don't want a ground war, they may have to sit down soon and negotiate with Milosevic. And actually, although NATO has been presenting a united front, there are cracks below the surface. The U.S. and Britain have kept up the bellicose tone very high, but the other European members, especially Italy, Germany, and France, as well as Greece, they're much more worried about the consequences of a prolonged and intensified air campaign. These governments do not want they also don't want Russia marginalized. They don't want a frustrated Russia on the sidelines. And there have been lots of protest demonstrations against the bombing campaign in several European countries, and that public opinion can't be ignored. So the more we have what NATO calls collateral damage, civilians being killed, the more these European countries are willing to make a deal with Milosevic.
Two American planes went down today. An F-16 fighter jet crashed over Serbia, and an American Harrier jet crashed in the Adriatic Sea while on a training mission. Both pilots are reported rescued and safe. How is this news, especially the report of the downed jet over Serbia, affecting public opinion there in Belgrade?
Well, it can only boost morale here. Although the Serbs have claimed that they've downed 40 NATO aircraft, what we know from NATO is that two have certainly been have crashed. Whether they were downed or not is not clear, but at least NATO is not telling us. But it will certainly boost morale in this country where people increasingly feel like they're David fighting Goliath.
We are also getting reports of civilians killed in the latest round of NATO bombing. What can you tell us about that?
Well, the latest thing was a bus that was a hit yesterday in Kosovo, just north of the capital, Pristina. This could be the worst of these accidents that have happened so far against civilians. The official media says 35 people were killed, including 15 children. They were on a passenger bus crossing a bridge at 1 in the afternoon on a clear, sunny day. Foreign reporters who reached the scene several hours later said the bus seems to have taken a direct hit. It split in two, one half exploding in flames, the other crashing to the ground. And they said it appears two missiles had hit the bus and the bridge.
You've been watching all of this from Belgrade for a while now. What's daily life there like? What's the mood on the streets?
Well, it varies. I mean, essentially, it's life. There are aspects that haven't changed at all. In some, at certain hours of the day, you see the cafes are full with people. There's a sort of semblance of normality, although there's very little traffic because there's very little gas. However, everything has come up earlier. The shops close earlier. Restaurants close earlier. People want to be home at night. There still are these daily rock concerts in the central square, anti-NATO. There's a sense of sort of a surreal normality. A certain type of pattern is emerging, and people are settling in to living in a kind of constant state of terror and tension about when and what will be hit next.
NPR's Sylvia Pajoli in Belgrade, Yugoslavia. Thanks, Sylvia.
Thank you.